Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, especially this program, today's special, so welcome. Today we're going to speak about extensive presence of people in the elections supports Islam. So be with us. First, let's look at the calendar. Today, Friday, is the 7th of Zilqa'da, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 28th of Hordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 18th of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Dear brothers and sisters, now we'll listen to verse 41 of chapter Hajj from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Alladhina in makkannahum fil ardi أقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأمروا بالمعروف ونهوا عن المنكر ولله عاقبة الأمور.
And they are those who, if we give them authority in the land, establish prayer and give zakah and enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. And to Allah belongs the outcome of all matters.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
If the believers gain power and ability, they will keep up prayer, pay the alms, enjoin good and forbid evil. But if the deviated and inept people become powerful, they disobey the truth. After being victorious, such believers never make themselves busy with luxuries and pleasures as the arrogant oppressors do, nor do they dive in pride and vanity. On the contrary, they utilize their victories and successions as a ladder for their promotion in improving both themselves and their own society.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
The status of people. The problem of contradiction between people's views and those of rulers has different forms. One of the forms is people's will and decisions of the government's agents may be equal as far as consistency with religious rules is concerned. In this case, people's will be preferable. Reasons such as the necessity of counsel can religiously support this idea. Besides, from the sociological viewpoint, this results in more acceptability and efficiency of the government. This is true, except when changing the decision is not possible due to some reasons. The other form is, people's will may be religiously and legally prior to the decision of government's agents. In this case, people's will is preferable. And the third form is like this, people's will may be consistent with religious rules and principles, or may be contrary to the common good of the society, but the decisions of the government's agents may be consistent with religious rules and principles. In this case, the latter has priority.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about the significance and importance of presidential elections. Elections in general and particularly presidential elections in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Both inside and outside the whole country, we find that these political representatives play a great role, whether in the parliament or in some other councils or elsewhere. For example, in our foreign delegations, we find that those people who represent the nation speak very forcefully and they generally defend the interests of the nation, the interests and the welfare of the nations against foreign threats. At the same time, we find that those people who go over there, who move outside country in order to speak on behalf of the nation and on behalf of the revolution, they speak very forcefully. Please note carefully that when the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, when he was the president of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and it was in the time of Imam Khomeini, when he delivered a lecture at the United Nations Organization in New York, He spoke very forcefully and defended the interest and welfare of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and more importantly, he defended the whole Muslim nations in the world in such a way that, I mean, all the powers whose representatives were present over there were really and greatly influenced by his tone of voice, by his steadfastness, and by his reinforceful, way of defending the whole nation and the interests of all Muslim nations. And now we find that, for example, even around 1 year ago, when the late General Martyr Qasem Soleimani was martyred in Baghdad, we find that he used to be the delegate of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, in many countries. Since he was the delegate of the Islamic Revolution of Iran and the Islamic Republic of Iran, he always spoke very forcefully and logically on behalf of the nation and the Islamic Republic of Iran, wherever he went. And we find that it was because of his character, career, and his, being very forceful and very influencing, and having a very influencing character, he was able to defeat the ISIS groups and the Daesh groups both in Syria and in Iraq. And in effect of his sacrifice, thanks God, the ISIS or Daesh threat has been removed in the whole region.
What is the relationship between Islamic State and republicanism or democracy? Republicanism has no contradictions with Islamic State. Republicanism is a form of government consistent with various governments as far as content is concerned. Islamic State can be organized in various forms, one of which is republican, which is especially appropriate for the modern age. Democracy and the explanation of its relation with Islamic State requires a lot of study and review because this notion has various degrees, models, and forms. Besides, the term democracy is used in different senses. In summary, if you define the word democracy as public participation, it has no contradiction with Islamic State. Rather, Islamic State can emerge without this kind of democracy, or it may not sustain its viability. The ideological and substantial democracy, or the liberal form of democracy, which affirm every human will, even though it may be consistent with religious law, are, however, in contradiction with Islamic State.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain.
An important question: why should we vote? Voting is an opportunity for change. Do you want to make a positive impact? Voting gives you that chance. Support the candidate and ballot measures that can help your community, state, and even the nation for the greater good. Make your voice heard in these elections. The community depends on you. Yes. Our communities are made up of friends, loved ones, neighbors, and children. Some may not know how important voting is, while others don't have the privilege. Make the decision to vote for yourself and those around you.
Voting is important, my dear friends. Voting is important. This is a right. Why do you forfeit that right? When you don't vote, when the Muslim community doesn't vote, political candidates are not going to cater for you. They could care less about us and for our rights. Why? Because we didn't vote for them. If we are not a major voting factor, if we Muslims don't have enough votes, and we don't contribute to political campaigns, but others do, put yourself in the shoes of a political candidate. Who is he going to care for more? Those who vote for him or those who don't vote for him? It's common sense. It's logical. Those who vote for you, those who vote, you're going to go and cater to them. But if you're a community that doesn't even engage in politics, never votes, never goes out for the ballots, you sit at home, no one's going to cater for you. No one's going to care for you. No one's going to care for your rights. They're going to say, you know, who cares about this community? Because they don't make a difference. They don't contribute to political campaigns. And they don't vote. We need youth to run for office. If we want rights in these countries, in Canada, in America, in the UK, in Europe, in Australia, in New Zealand, we need our youth to run for office, to fight for our rights. No one will fight for your rights other than yourself. We shouldn't expect others to come and say, let's fight for the rights of Muslims, these poor Muslims. Let's fight for their rights. No one. No one. We have to fight for our own rights.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special, this episode of today's special. May Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. Fi amanah.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us start the day by reflecting on a wise statement from Imam Reza, peace be upon him, the 8th infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Intelligence is a gift of God, while ethics are obtained through exertion of efforts. Thus, whoever exerts effort for obtaining ethics will surely obtain them, while those who exert efforts for obtaining intelligence instead of ethics will not obtain anything except increasing ignorance.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abul Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Again, continuing our discussion on the tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in dealing with the units within the armies of the Aql and Jahl, we have reached this segment of the tradition where the Imam alayhi salam mentions something that in our lives, especially most of our lives, it is something of extreme importance. That characteristic and trait which the Imam mentions for Aql is known as Al-Kitman, concealment, confinement, you know, keeping something a secret. And obviously, on the other side, we have that characteristic for Jahl, and indicates the Jahl of a person, and that is Ifsha, disclosure, making something hidden apparent. So here, for example, again, there are many different instances, many different references that a person can bring in this regard. Sometimes it is not necessary for you to have been told a secret by somebody in order for you to then disclose it to others. This is one form of it, that it is your responsibility to do wafa, to be loyal, as we mentioned previously, to be ameen, as we mentioned previously, to a particular secret that you have been given. This secret you may have seen, or you may have been told. It is not, you know, part, and it is not the sign of an aql to go and tell this to other people. If you wish to tell this, for example, you saw something bad from somebody, why tell other people? Go straight to the person if you can do it and you can help him. This is not ifsha. Ifsha is doing it to others. This is information. You're doing ikhbar. That is different. This is you telling him that you did something wrong. You're not going to others. You need to understand that this is a very, beautiful difference between ifsha and ikhbar. Ikhbar, you're telling the person himself that you did something wrong, and hopefully, inshallah, help him. This is one form. Another form is this, that you as an individual have been given a particular gift by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a particular understanding of something, that you know that if you tell this to others, they will either look at you down, or they will not understand. This is a particular meaning that we have within the mystical tradition of Islam, the concept of kitman, and hiding certain secrets of religion from those who are not worthy of it. This is another possible meaning that can be mentioned here by the Imam alayhi salam, that a person comes to a particular understanding of a particular deep secret within a particular Islamic teaching. That is fine. He keeps it to himself because he knows that this may do harm to other people. Or their deen may even be lost. Or they will completely look at him down and he will lose his social status. Not to say that it's important, but example, if he had been a teacher of these individuals, he may lose that position and enable them to learn Islam. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra, بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu Alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam, Brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, today in the first part of the program, we all are going to listen to the recitation of verses 89 to 90 of Suratul Anbiya, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Helbawi. Dear brothers and sisters, let's listen to it, preceded by its English translation.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. And Zechariah, when he cried to his Lord, O my Lord, leave me not childless, though you are the best of the inheritors. So we answered his call, and we bestowed upon him John, and cured his wife to bear a child for him. Verily, they used to hasten on to do good deeds, and they used to call on us with hope and fear, and used to humble themselves before us.
Zechariah,
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of verses 89 to 90 of Surah Al-Anbiya, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Helbawi, a great Egyptian reciter. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Firstly, I'd like to say that this verse is very beautiful, these two verses. Just look how, in what way Prophet Zechariah is praying to Allah to give him a son. Ibnada Rabbahu Rabbi La Tadharni Farda. He's saying, "Oh my Lord, don't leave me alone with no one after me." And wa anta khayrul warithin, and you are the best person who warithin means someone who leaves inheritance for someone. You are the best of those who give inheritance to others, who cause people to become heirs. This is the translation of warithin. We probably don't have such a word in English. Heir means someone who receives inheritance. Inheritor has the same meaning. Inheritor means someone who, again, receives inheritance.
Now let's talk about tajweed, brother.
Well, Sheikh Helbawi, he's using the method of, he's reciting in the method of Warsh an Nafir. Wazakariya'u idnade. We have Zakariya'u. There is a Hamzatul Qat' after Zakariya in Warsh. You don't have such a thing in Hafs.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to talk about the differences between Warsh and Hafs for today's program.
Na
de. He doesn't say na da. Na de. This is ya'atul za'ida or zawatul ya, where the ya itself is not pronounced like a consonant. It's actually a seat or a base for aliful mad.
Yeah, and there is a small alif above this ya.
There's a small alif. These are all pronounced with taqalil, which means it's 75% aliful mad, 25% Ya ulmat. Idnade. Rabbi la tadharni farda wa anta khayrul warithin. Khayrul. We have tarqiq of ra here. Because according to Warsh, whenever ra is preceded by a ya that's sakin, meaning madullin.
Yes.
You have to pronounce the ra with tarqiq.
Never mind what the haraka of ra
the
is.
The ra, exactly. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ يَحْيَى. Again, يَحْيَى. We have تَقْلِيل.
يَحْيَى becomes يَحْيَى.
يَحْيَى. وَأَصْلَحْنَا. We have تَغْلِيل of لَام. There is a condition for Tawleeb of Lam in Warsh. Whenever three letters are before Lam, Saad, Wa, and Ta, these three letters, which are letters of Istirlam, if they're before Lam and the Lam has a Fatha or Aliful Mad, it has to be pronounced with Tawleeb of Lam, Wa, like as if the Lam has Tafkhim. And what if the lam does not have a fatha or alif? There's no tawleeb. So the condition is first, there has to be saad, ta, or wa before the lam, and the lam has to have fatha or alif. Like here, waslahna, lalam, lalam lil abid. For example, we have walamna, or talaqatum.
You want to talk about how is the rule for Allah?
It's the same as Hafs. For Allah is the same. We have Tawleeb and Tarfiq, the same conditions.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
What I am going to share with you is few hadith I have selected from Al-Kafi by the late Sheikh Kulaini, Kitabu Fadl al-Quran. There is a section on the merits of the Quran, and that section has different chapters. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, فيه خبركم. In this book, there is information about you. وخبر من قبلكم, information, news about the people who were before you. وخبر من بعدكم, information about the people who come after you, future generations. وخبر السماء والأرض, information about the sky and the earth. وَلَوْ أَتَاكُمْ مَنْ يُخْبِرُكُمْ عَنْ ذَلِكَ لَتَعَجَّبْتُمْ. If someone comes and informs you through the Quran about all these things, you will be surprised. You say, is this mentioned in the Quran? But it is there, you don't understand. If someone understands the language of the Quran, if someone is acquainted with the Quran, he can tell you all these things about you, previous generations, future generations, whatever is in the sky and the earth. Everything is the Quran. You know, like something which is encoded and then has to be decoded.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
اشرح صدري قرآن, املأ قلبي قرآن, اشرح صدري قرآن.
is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Roundtable from Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for joining us on today's episode of Back to Reality. In the studio with me, I have two special guests and friends. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, sister.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi. I am Sister Nasreen, and I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so very much, Sister Nasreen. Though your accent makes it quite obvious, just for, you know, our listeners to get more in tune with the vibe of our discussion. Can I ask where you're from and what you've your studies have been?
I'm born in England, and I am studying Master's in Philosophy of Ethics.
MashaAllah. Thank you so
Applied
very
ethics,
much.
Applied ethics, actually.
Thank you so much for that information. And my other lovely guest is...
Assalamu alaikum, dear sister. I'm Muzaffar Haider from the UK. I'm studying here in the holy city of Qom, studying Islam, and I'm at your service today.
Today we're going to be talking about selection versus election. First of all, let's talk about whether there is a difference between the two, and which one do you guys feel like you do more in your life? Do you mm-hmm. elect more often, or do you select more often? Is there a difference? Sister Nasreen is making that face where, you know, she's implying that no, there's no difference. Enough, stop talking. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start with you. Do you think there's even a difference between selection and election even?
It's just something, there's some things that you just do in life, whether they're, you know, it's just from the mind to the intuition, mm-hmm. and you do them, whether they are select or elect. You
okay,
choose something mm-hmm. that is according to what your values and your knowledge guide you towards, mm. and then you make the decision.
Exactly. That definitely happens in both cases of selection and election.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think, Brother Muzaffar, is the...
Well, we should go to the definition. Selection is like the action or fact of carefully choosing someone or something as being the best or most suitable
okay.
for something. And election is usually defined as a formal and organized choice or vote of a person for a political office or other position.
Mm. So election usually takes place in a more political arena. We can say that, right?
Okay.
Easily. And also, I feel like election happens after selection.
Mm-hmm.
You select a bunch of people from a group of people. You narrow it down a little, and then you elect among those people.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Do we really do this in life?
Not us, like
okay.
the state or the government
okay.
or the system.
But yeah.
selects a bunch of people for us and we elect from among them. So that's the closest I can bring selection and election to each other. But normally I think in our lives we're constantly selecting rather than electing. In fact, I don't remember the last time I did elect.
Elect or select?
Elect.
Elect.
Select, I selected this morning whether to have oatmeal or pancake.
Yeah, I selected this hijab.
Exactly. And often I found that this little selections that we have in our life gives us that illusion of free will.
Where are we going with this, sister?
Which we actually don't have.
Can you show me, where do we elect in our personal lives?
We don't. I said we usually select. I don't remember the last time I did
well,
elect.
Well, I think that generally there it isn't supposed to be this way, but marriage has become election process.
Definitely. Please
which,
elaborate.
Which
I know what you mean, but... You
well,
know.
I no, it's just
mean.
That it has become a way that, you know, families, mm. I think more families, I don't think it's so much individual, but I don't know.
Mm.
In the East,
yep.
When a son or daughter wants to get married, they have a group of, quote-unquote, suitable suitors.
Suitors,
for,
yeah.
For, you know... Often it's financial
criteria,
for
right?
their daughter or son. And out of those, they will choose the more appropriate to meet.
Mm.
And then out of those, the daughter will...
Why do you feel it shouldn't be like that?
Why do I feel?
Mm.
Well, it's not about what I feel. It's not a sort of a fitrae type of thing to do, to choose something that is supposed to be compatible with our soul
mm.
in an Islamic lifestyle is not done like going to the market and buying, choosing selecting a red camel, you know? And this is sort of what it's become like.
The red camel part was deep.
Yeah, no, the
that.
Camel.
But I mean, are you saying that because the criteria is off? Well, I mean, when the criteria
yes.
are... When the
I
criteria
think people's values have deteriorated to a point where it's not human on a human level, but it is more
when
on
has it ever
animalistic
been?
Level.
When has it ever been?
Well, it's not when has it ever, but which group of people?
Do you think there are a group
yes,
of people?
Yes, of course
with
there
more
are
human
people living in the world in who are practicing Islam,
yep.
who choose their spouses according to a higher human
for sure.
sort of
standard.
Selection process,
mm.
which is someone who is suitable to live with, that will guide you and help you and support you, and that you can support to go towards the hereafter.
Simple, yeah.
That is what we get married for.
Definitely.
And someone who will be suitable for bringing up or having the right children.
Mm.
You know, and these things are not taking place on the intellectual level. These sort should be sort of intuitive, an intuitive process, because that should be in our DNA as we're living.
But
you know,
not. Brother Mudafa, when was the last time you what was the hardest selection you've ever had to make in your life?
Oh, blooming heck, sister! You could have warned me before asking a question
like that.
She doesn't warn about anything.
Yeah,
biggest selection. Biggest selection I've ever had to make in my life. Can we come back to that? I just wanted to ask very quickly, where is the election here? Because we're still selecting a suitable spouse, right?
Yeah, but it's among...
The selection
Council
was
the family.
the type of people who turn selection into election.
Mm. From
in spousal.
It's like a bunch of suitors, right? It's not like they're going to go select... A spouse from among total strangers. They already have like
a panel.
Yeah, a panel. Thank you. Eligible candidates running.
I thought selection is when you select.
Mm-hmm.
Election is when you and others select.
Definitely.
Very good point.
Oh my God, in marriage that totally happens. There's your
That's
dad
exactly
and there's your mom and there's
right.
your cha-cha
right.
and there's your popo and there's your nanny and there's your everyone.
Your best friend.
Your best friend's uncle's
your brother's
cousins,
your sister. Yeah.
Like sick dog.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is having an
the
input.
Head of the board of financial CEOs at a company that is owned by the family.
Definitely. Mm. I don't necessarily think marriage should be, you know what? Let's move on to other fields in life where selection and election takes place. Because if we're going to talk about marriage, then
there are times when election comes into our life when they shouldn't.
Definitely.
And we should be careful to select.
For sure. Do you think selection and election takes place in other fields of life? You're not going to tell me when was your hardest, so just give me a few examples, why don't you? That's a horrible example.
This is not an easy question. Selection. When was the last time I made a selection?
You selected to come here.
I selected to come here to study in the holy city of Qom. Other than this, I would have stayed in the UK. And
done what?
Probably become a teacher, got married.
That's
nice.
That was teacher, not DJ, right?
Teacher. Yeah. Maybe a DJ teacher. But English teacher. I would have probably just become an English teacher. Run of the mill, there he is, English teacher.
That's not run of the mill.
Hmm?
But
it's hard,
okay,
yeah. It's really hard.
What was it elected for you to come here by, like...
But I had to go to my parents, obviously, and say, yo, mom, dad, I'm sick of this place. I want to go to Qom and study. And then I had to take their, thing into consideration. Thank God they
They're
were like, yeah, go for it.
Oh, alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Otherwise, it would have been a very horrible uphill struggle.
Mm. And awkward, not to mention.
Mm-hmm.
And are you happy with this selection of yours?
Of course. Alhamdulillah. I couldn't be more thankful. Does that not sound convincing enough?
No. If people had saw the face too, they would be like hella convinced.
What about you?
But then again, who would really admit that they made a mistake?
I would. I made a mistake studying philosophy. I shouldn't have done that.
I respect that. Philosophy is like, it's not... but what's the...
I definitely would have rather taken like...
Was that a selection or election?
Nuclear science. That was an election.
I would argue that sometimes elections make things worse.
They definitely
do. Especially when you're making decisions in your own personal life.
And then people think that they can come and, you know, they can come and insert their opinion where it obviously does not belong.
Sometimes you need to take other people's thoughts and opinions into consideration, especially
if they're
older, wiser.
But there's no obligation in applying it, actually. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, shawirhum fil amr, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, consult them. But does it bring any obligation?
Yeah, you know, this whole consultation, I think, is very misunderstood. Parents often sort of feel offended. Generally
if you consult
speaking,
them and then you don't
take
their
opinion. When you know, and they bring this verse that you know, those who do not seek consultation will be destroyed. But the point is that sometimes that not everybody's consultation is appropriate for the person.
Definitely.
You know,
yeah. Oh my God.
There is an intellectual and sort of an ethical difference of like decision making.
For sure.
And we can't just say that parent is necessarily higher in anything, you know?
Why do you guys think, Brother Mudafa, this question is for you, and you're going to win $100,000 if you answer it right. Why do we elect people to govern us even, since we're already on the topic of election and selection?
Sometimes we ask people...
Hold that thought.
Sometimes we ask people because we genuinely think that they can help us make the right decision. I feel like sometimes, however, we already know what the right decision is. We're asking people so that they can get
how
us
do you
out
know,
of it.
How do you think that you
oh my God, that is
feel
so cute.
That we know the right decision? I think this is an important point.
Sometimes, I think people would be surprised how many
times...
Where
does that feeling come?
You introspect, and it comes from kind of the middle of your brain and your heart, kind of your throat area, if that helps.
No,
I'm
yeah, it does.
Asking about election.
Do you know why it does? Because I think a lot of people have lost that connection to the self, that they doubt that inner voice.
Right, yeah. These doubts can sort of... push you to ask people when
and
you don't actually need anybody's
help.
Yeah,
and that's a lack of meditation, a lack of alone time, a lack of centeredness.
Definitely. So basically, I just want to clarify, why is it cool for us to have elections when it comes to people governing us and having an establishment or government to represent us or over us, but in other aspects of life, we usually just select and we don't ask for other people's opinions?
That's a very good point. Because when you're electing the ruler, whoever's going to be leading your country, it's affecting everybody. So it makes sense to take everybody's thoughts and opinions into consideration. But in personal matters, which are to do with you and nobody else, still you should consult. But at the end of the day, the decision is yours. You should select, not elect.
Maybe you could answer the question that many people will say, why do we elect anything in the Shia faith, when that is the whole big controversy going back to the time of the Holy Prophet.
Yeah, I mean, if it was done right since that time, we wouldn't be having these discussions now, but it didn't. So that's all the time we have for today's episode of Back to Reality. Thank you so very much for joining us, brother, sister, and our lovely listeners. Until next time, I'll leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Quran Quest, yes please. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
الشيطان ومن زلاته.